Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Let all that is within me bless his holy name. What is within me? Christ, the Spirit of the living Christ. And what does the Spirit of the living Christ want to do? Wants to bless the Lord by working in me and through me, pouring out of me in all the ways that he has designed. And of course, the same is true for you. That's his purpose in every one of our lives. Now, we have a very important statement here in Hebrews chapter 4 concerning what we're to do and not to do. We've been thinking these last few weeks about Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Obviously, what we want to see is more and more of the Christ and less of the me. The more of the Christ, the less of me. But, of course, he needs our lives through which to express his life. He needs to flow out of us. And the writer to Hebrews says here, in chapter 4, verse 10, "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his." Now, if we are to see Christ expressed in our lives in the way that God intends, we've seen that we have to take the whole truth. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's not just a question of Christ lives in me, but we have to realize, well, I no longer live. That person that I was cannot express Christ. Therefore, you see, the writer to the Hebrews is saying, therefore we rest from our own labors. Because whatever we do with that self-life is not going to produce life. That's right. Now, the whole purpose of Christ living in us, expressing his life through us, so that his life pours out of us, is to actually impart the life of God. You cannot impart the life of God with your self-life. But you as a person can be a channel of God's life, of his power, of his love, of his healing, of his grace, of his mercy. Whatever he is, you become a channel of. Yes. But you can't be the channel, that channel, in the way that he desires and intends unless you cease from your own labors. Hello? Now, what God wants to talk to us about this morning is release. We recognize from time to time in our lives, both individually and corporately, that we need to see release. For example, we know that it's very important that this month we see a release of finances, because we're in a very challenging position this year whereby we have to pay up front many of the costs that normally we pay after camp. Now somehow we've got to have the money before the money comes in. So we need to see a release of finances. Sometimes you're in a situation where you are sick or there's someone you need to pray for who is sick, and you recognize you need to see a release of the healing power of God. It may be that you're in a situation where you feel totally unable to have the love and compassion that is needed for such a situation, and so you recognize, I need, Lord, to see your love, your compassion, a release of your love and compassion. So we can sort of look at the situation in bits and pieces like this. But if we do that, we miss the point that God wants us to get hold of. You see, every aspect of his life is contained in the Spirit who lives in us.
Absolutely.
So what we need to see is a release of the Spirit. If there's a release of the Spirit in our lives, then there will be a release in worship. There will be a release in prayer. There will be a release in provision, a release in power, a release in love, and in every other aspect of the Holy Spirit's person and life. Often you hear Christians say, Lord, I need more patience. But God will never give them patience. Or say, Lord, I need more kindness, more goodness. But God will never give them kindness or goodness. Because, you see, these are all aspects of his love. And God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So when a person says, Lord, I need more patience, what they should say is, Lord, I need to see a further release of your Spirit. Because if they see a further release of the Spirit in their lives, then they will have the patience and the goodness and the kindness and every other aspect of the life or the love of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is the person of God. He is the Spirit of Christ. The person of God lives in you, not just an anointing. Now, this is amazing in its implications. The scripture doesn't say a blessing from Christ lives in you, but Christ himself lives in you. Now, he can do that because he is spirit. He is not confined, therefore, to living in one place or in one person, as he was when Jesus was on the earth. But now the Spirit of God has been poured out upon all flesh, which doesn't mean that everybody contains the Spirit or possesses the Spirit of Christ, but it means that the Spirit is poured out freely so that all those who believe in Jesus are filled with that Spirit. Now, what God wants is to see release. Sometimes you hear of people being baptized in the Spirit and say, well, I don't speak in tongues. Well, that's true. They don't speak in tongues, but it doesn't mean they can't speak in tongues. Because tongues is part of the gift. The gift is the Holy Spirit. It doesn't serve as well. I explained this a few weeks ago, that, you know, we call the manifestations of the Spirit the gifts of the Spirit. They're not really gifts. There's only one gift, that's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is manifested in different ways. The various manifestations of the grace of the Spirit, but they're not separate individual gifts, not in the Greek. They're the different ways in which the one Spirit manifests himself. So whatever the need, what we're actually saying is we need to see the Spirit manifest himself more fully in this life, now, in this situation. Now, because he lives in you, he can be manifested, he can be released, he can be expressed more and more fully in your life. Now, remember what John says. You have the anointing of the Holy One. You have that. Christ came to live in you when you were anointed with the Spirit of God. You have that anointing. And he says that anointing abides, it remains. God has never taken it away. But just because you have the Spirit of Christ within you does not mean that you always trust or depend upon the Spirit, or you always express the Spirit, or you are always giving way to the Spirit. We had an interesting service on Sunday morning. At the beginning, all I did was just talk for 4 or 5 minutes about worship, just reminding everybody of the principles that actually we've known well for several years. Of course, there's always new people coming into the church, so it's good to do that kind of thing every now and again. But, I mean, the worship just took off. It wasn't difficult. Nobody pumped it up. There were no musicians or singers on the stage. Why? Because the anointing was already there. It just showed the few things that were said helped people to release the anointing that was already there within them. Yes. Now, you see, our problem in the church, I'm not talking just about Kingdom Faith Church, I'm talking about the church generally now. The problem in the church generally is that leaders usually don't want to give way to the Holy Spirit. They might say they do, but they don't. I can remember when Kingdom Faith Church began, when we got together as the leadership before we began the series of meetings that gave birth to the church. The one thing we prayed was, Holy Spirit, we want you to move in such a way that you take everything out of our hands. Now, that's a dangerous prayer, but it's the right prayer. But you see, that's the very thing that most leaders are afraid to do. They don't want things to get out of their control. But if they're in the hands of the Spirit, they're in God's control. Now, man is forever trying to organize the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that you learn is the Holy Spirit is unorganizable, if there is such a word. You cannot organize wind and fire.
That's it.
Put the two together and you just cannot organize wind and fire. You cannot organize the Holy Spirit. But you see, man is forever saying, Holy Spirit, we want you to work in this way, or this way, or this way, because we perceive that's the right way for this situation. And God says, no way. Don't you understand that my Spirit understands more about your situation than you do? The Holy Spirit knows who is there. The Holy Spirit knows the circumstances in every person's life. The Spirit always knows the best thing to do at the best time in that situation. If you give way to Him, He will always do what is right. He will never do what is wrong. Now, you see, one of the things that started in the States, and as with so many other things, it spreads. But some years ago, people started to have user-friendly services. And user-friendly churches began. And user-friendly churches, very popular in the States. It sort of fits the kind of lifestyle of many Christians there. Because what does usually user-friendly mean? It means we want to please the people rather than to please God. So user-friendly, it was discovered, can result in big churches, thousands of people in the States. Now that to man is success. To God it is failure.
Absolutely.
Complete failure. Why? Because if you have a church that is built by man on user-friendly principles, it is inevitable that before long there will be serious problems in those churches. And in most of those churches now, I gather, there are serious problems, especially moral problems, authority problems, all the kind of problems that you would expect if you were trying to please people. What you get is a superficial kind of Christianity, and you're getting a lot of people so-called saved, let's put it in inverted commas, but they're only being saved superficially because all they're coming into is a superficial kind of Christian experience in those churches because it's all user-friendly. So we mustn't have the service, you know, longer than an hour and 10 minutes or whatever, and we mustn't, you know, oh, it's all worship that people will like, kind of preaching that people will like. It doesn't work because it isn't God. There is absolutely nothing in the New Testament that is user-friendly. Not even a glimmer of user-friendly. Jesus never resorted to user-friendly, nor did they in the Acts of the Apostles. I mean, how could you communicate the gospel in that society? And our society today is very, very similar. Very, very similar. Sort of degenerate society. And because the world is always the world and the flesh is always the flesh. So user-friendly doesn't work. Why? Because man can build a church. Let me tell you, men can build churches. Men can build user-friendly churches. But they're building wood, hay, stubble. Yes. And the fire of the Lord will burn it up. It won't exist. It won't be able to survive the testing. But when the Holy Spirit builds, when God himself builds, after all, Jesus said, I will build my church. Then you build with silver, gold, and precious stones. And they will last through the fire. So what man builds will not last. What God builds will endure. Now, usually when God builds, not always, but usually, he builds more slowly, especially at the first, because he wants there to be a secure foundation. Because we are inheriting a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So God wants to build something that cannot be shaken, no matter what happens in the world, no matter what attack that church comes under, no matter what opposition there is from the enemy, God's work cannot be shaken. Because actually Christ himself is the foundation, not a user-friendly gospel. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Now, we've heard a lot the last few days from various people about digging a well, digging wells. And yeah, you can go and drink from somebody else's well and be blessed. You could even bring a cup of water back from somebody else's well. What you can't do is to bring the well back.
That's it. Absolutely.
You've got to dig your own well. And what God has been doing with us here is digging a well. Now, it's a deep well. Right? It's a deep well. And the Lord has been talking to me a lot about this in the last few days. And he says, the deeper the well, the purer the water. But what you have to do with a well is to dig down to the water level. Now, you would think with all this rain, that wouldn't be too far down. But we're talking about spiritual things at present. Once you have hit the water level, you have a never-ending supply. Now, you see, you can have a shallow well that just gets down to a reservoir of water. But if you dig right down to the water table, There is a constant flow. There is just constant water. It's always there. Never dries up. And that's what God wants. Because you see, what we have always believed God for is true revival that will last for a generation. Because we've realized that it would take a generation to turn this nation around and restore it to godliness. So it's not just a move of the Spirit that is wonderful for a few months. We need something that is so enduring it will last for at least 25 years. That will see me out. I don't mind going to glory in the midst of revival, but I'm not going to glory waiting for it. So that water level is already there. And I believe God says we're about to break through to it. And of course, when we do, then, well, the language he's used is the well will become a fountain. If we can just mix our analogies a little bit. When you dig for oil, when you get down to the level where the oil is, you get a gusher. The drill becomes a fountain. Well, God has been saying that about this water. It's not just that we'll be able to draw the water up, but the water will become a fountain. If you like, through this well, there will be a spring, a fountain of water. And this is another way of describing what God has been telling us about this being a meeting point for heaven, and a place where God's heavenly life and power can be communicated and spread out. So this fountain, you see, will spread. It's the fountain of living water. It's a fountain that brings the Spirit and life to people. Now, as we continue to pray, believe, and work, not in our strength, but in obedience to the Spirit, to see these promises fulfilled, so God is saying, there needs to be a release in our lives and a release in the church. Now, that isn't waiting to get down to the water level. It's something that is already achievable. Hello? Why? Because Christ is already in us. And actually, this might sound a strange way of putting it, but that release through us will enable us to hit the water level, will enable then the fountain to come forth, will, if you like, begin this 25 years, this generation of true revival. Now, I've lived through revivals and I've ministered in revivals in different parts of the world, so you know, I hear people calling all kinds of moves of God revival, and I know that they're some way short of the kind of revivals that I've seen the Holy Spirit accomplish. You can have moves of God that are not revival. You can call them revival because they're better than what was happening before. But there are four essential things that have to be expressed in God's people in times of revival. Now, one of these, I haven't heard anybody say about what is happening at Lakeland in Florida. Now, I haven't heard it. Perhaps it's there, I don't know. I'm not trying to judge what is happening there. God bless, what is happening there. But the first essential of real revival is love. Now, I haven't heard people say, there's just this incredible love in Lakeland. You need to go for this incredible love. You need to just get a handle of this love. Wow. I mean, such tremendous love. But where there is revival, that's what people say. It's the thing that hits people before anything else. Because, you see, the love is there all the time. The signs and wonders are there, but signs and wonders take a few minutes. But love is permanent. So when you come up against, when you meet, if you like, with a people that are living in revival, the first thing that strikes you is this amazing love that these people have. So that amazing love is already in you. Because Christ is in you and He is love. And the scripture says God has already poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So that love is there. So what we need to see is a further release of that love. Now, it doesn't mean to say that that love isn't already being expressed. Of course it is, in many ways. But not, if I can put it this way, at a revival level. I don't hear people sort of coming in here at Rafi saying, wow, what tremendous love. Or coming into the NRC on a Sunday saying, oh, what tremendous love. Some people probably will because it's more loving than anything they've experienced before. But there's much more of the love of Christ. Now, why is this, if you like, the first sign of genuine revival? Because the new covenant command is to love. Is to love one another. So you see people with this amazing love for God, but it's also an amazing love for others. Let me just tell you a true story about revival. One of the churches I ministered in some years ago in Argentina was a church that God built a good foundation there, and the church was about 5,000. That's a fairly good foundation. It went from 5,000 to 50,000 in 3 months. That's because the Holy Spirit did certain things. But there's no time to go into that. But at the time I was there, the church was about 150,000 and met in various congregations around and just outside the city of Buenos Aires. So I was speaking at the main congregation in the middle. At that time, they had continuous services from 7 o'clock in the morning till midnight, 7 days a week, just to accommodate the number of people. Now, they regarded it as one church, but they had these other, if you like, satellite congregations, which they called extension centers. They're an extension of the central church, and each of the extension centers worshipped one Sunday a month in the main church, just so that they kept the unity of the whole thing. Well, even in revival, men can sin. And two of the leaders that were responsible for an extension center decided to lead that church out into independence from the central congregation. Scripture warns us of this, doesn't it? You always get those who want to lead men after themselves. Hello? So they declared a unilateral declaration of independence, that they were now a separate church. There were only 2,000 of them. So, you know, as far as the leadership of the church were concerned, that wasn't any a big deal, really. But it was obviously a threat to the unity of the body. So they decided to have a service which was sort of the inauguration of this as a separate congregation. to their amazement and alarm, the senior pastor of the whole church turned up. So the leadership sort of rushed to this guy and said, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" So he said, "Well, if you're going to become a separate church, I want to bless you. So I want to be seen that, I want everybody to see that I'm here to bless you. I'm not here to stop what you're doing. If this was what you want to do, you will do it. But I'm here to bless you. I want God to bless you. These are 2,000 people for whom I've been responsible, and I don't want to see them going down the chute. I want to make sure they're going to be properly pastored and looked after. So I'm here to bless you." That's a fairly good attitude. It shows a sort of loving heart. A little while later, while actually I was there, this new, in quotes, church was having a campaign. And what they were trying to do was to try to lead more and more people out of the central church. So they, outside the central church building, they picketed. And they had their leaflets, and they were handing out the leaflets to the congregation to try to get them to leave the central church and come and join their new plant. And on one particular evening, it was pouring with rain. And these people were handing out these tickets and their leaflets in the pouring rain. So the guys, the ushers that were there in the entrance, said to these guys, "Why don't you come in the dry and hand your leaflets out here in the foyer? Then you won't get wet." When they asked why they said that, they said, "Well, these are our brothers. They're our brothers in Christ. They've separated from us, but they're still our brothers in Christ. We don't want to see them standing out there getting wet and cold." Now, this is a sort of a different kind of love from the sort of love that you normally see in a church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is love that isn't threatened by what people do to you. It's loving your enemies. It's loving those who do you down. It's loving those who persecute you. It's loving those who do the dirty on you. Hello? Now, that's the kind of love that God has poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. That same love is in you. Of course, it was a very wise thing to do, because with that kind of love, who would want to leave? I mean, those 2,000 people weren't actually part of the central congregation, but who would want to leave that kind of love to go and join a rebellious split? Hello? So where there is revival, there's this love. Now, the love is there. We're not waiting for God to pour out his love. The love is there. We simply need to see more of it released. But that means we need to see a further release of the Spirit. Now, the second thing that you will always see is faith. Now, you can only see faith by its works.
That's right.
This is what James is talking about, isn't it? See, I will show you my faith, but what I do, because faith without works is dead. So I will show you my faith by the things that I do, he says. Now, of course, they're the things really that Christ does through him, because our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we see wherever there is revival are the works of faith. Now, we see lots of works of faith here in Kingdom Faith already. And it's good to hear more and more people, you know, healing their neighbors and friends and in the supermarket and wherever, and more miracles and signs and wonders happening wherever people go. But you see, there's room for a further release, isn't there? Not just in a few individuals, but in everybody. Now, when there's a release like this, the strange thing is that people are comfortable in doing what before they felt very uncomfortable in doing. They do it sort of supernaturally, naturally. Instead of having to force themselves, you know, to witness, oh, I ought to do something, I ought to say something, I ought to offer to pray, they find themselves doing it. Why? Because a release has taken place. Are we all at the same meeting here? Now, you see, it isn't that we lack anything. We don't lack anything. The scripture is very clear. We don't lack anything. God has already given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's already given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of revival. There's no revival without the Holy Spirit. God doesn't add anything to the Holy Spirit when there's revival. It's simply that the Holy Spirit is allowed freedom. He's allowed to express himself more and more freely through the lives of his people, the lives of his church. So, you know, it isn't that we've got to wait for revival. We've just got to see the release of the Spirit and we'll be in revival. More fully. So what are the signs and wonders? The signs and wonders are simply the result or one of the works of the release of faith. Not the only things that result from faith. But there's some of the things. So it isn't just that we want faith and signs and wonders. Why? Because, well, you can have that kind of faith, but without love, it's empty. You're just a clashing gong, banging cymbal. It profits you nothing if all you can do is signs and wonders without love. So the love is absolutely essential, but that will give birth to a greater confidence to reach out in faith. How can love affect confidence? Because the scripture says that the love of God casts out all fear. Where there's a release of the love, the fear disappears. Because your love for the person is greater than your fear for yourself. Are you understanding this? So it's faith working through love. Now, where have I heard that before? But you see, that's why this is the slogan for Kingdom Faith. Because this is at the very heart. The life of kingdom faith. It was birthed out of faith working through love. Now, the third necessity is holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. If there isn't holiness, it's not revival. Let me tell you that. Now, holiness doesn't produce revival, but where there's revival, there is holiness. And I'm talking about practical holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But we know that we are called to be holy. But we're only called to be holy because God has already put the Spirit of holiness within us. Now, you can be subject to all kinds of temptations. And you are. But you see, how do we overcome the temptations? Not by fighting the temptation, but by a release of the Spirit of holiness. Where there's a release of the Spirit of holiness, the things that used to tempt you no longer tempt you. What enticed you before no longer entices you. So if there's something on the telly that you shouldn't be watching, instead of saying, oh, I'm just going to believe that this isn't going to affect me, you switch the jolly thing off. Because you don't want to watch it. Whereas before it might have been enticing, you just do not want that image. It's just a little indication of the Spirit of holiness being released. But the spirit of holiness is not simply standing against unholy things. A release of the spirit of holiness is utterly positive. You see, God is holy by nature, and everything about God is positive. Living in holiness is living in obedience. It's doing everything that is positive. A holy people do the will of God because they want to do the will of God and aren't interested when the enemy comes along to try to disrupt or detract from that in any way, or distract from that in any way. Now you have that spirit of holiness. You have that spirit of faith. You have that spirit of love. So where there's revival, you see the love, the faith, and the works that come from faith, and there's this tremendous sense of holiness. One of the things that struck me about that church when I first went there in Argentina is how you could really say the church was people's life. They didn't want anything else. They were absolutely fully satisfied by what God was doing among them. But it didn't mean they were just going to services. They were witnesses. But often they would be in services several nights a week because they had no interest in being at home watching television or doing anything else. They wanted to be where God was working, but they would be bringing others with them. They wouldn't just go to a meeting. They would always bring unsaved people. So they had all these services going on about, I don't know how many it was, something like 9, 10 services a day, 7 days a week. But there would be unsaved people at every one of them because they'd been brought knowing that they'd get saved and filled with the Spirit and healed and whatever else. Now, I'm not saying that God wants to replicate that here. I don't think he does. He will want to do what is right here. What we cannot do is to dictate to God the nature of the revival that is to take place here. If it's going to be a work of the Spirit will determine the nature of it, how he will do it, how he will express that. We might still only just have one main service a week. That's all. Because God does something totally different in another way. But it's not for us to tell the Holy Spirit how he's got to do it, because this is the way we want it to happen. The Holy Spirit blows away all your plans. When you have the freedom of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to somebody the other day. He said, you know what, shouldn't we have a 5-year plan? I said, you can't have a 5-year plan with the Holy Spirit. Because that's like limiting the Holy Spirit to that plan for the next 5 years. So he said, well, can't the Spirit tell you what he wants to do in the next 5 years? Well, how can you? I said, no, of course he can't, because his plans are going to get more and more and more expansive. If he told us now what he wants to do in the next 5 years, we wouldn't be able to believe him, because it would seem so much, so great, so far beyond where we are now. So in his wisdom, the Holy Spirit leads us step by step. Are we breathing? Now the fourth thing that you see is the spirit of prayer and worship. Now that spirit is here, you see. And we just saw a further release of the spirit of worship on Sunday morning. Why was it all so easy? Because it's there. It's there within us. It's part of our DNA in Kingdom Faith. But so are these other things. You know, there was a jump into church meeting last night, and all of you have seen the tree, you know, the history of Kingdom Faith, why we are what we are. But you see, all these things are there. The love, the faith, the holiness, the worship, the prayer. So where there's revival, the spirit of prayer is released among the people.
Yes.
As well as the spirit of worship. The worship is in the spirit. I mean, the worship just takes on another dimension. We got back into, well, a bit more controlled worship, really, with the song singing and people on the platform leading. So we sort of rescued it from that on Sunday morning, and just gave it back to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit could do what he wanted to do. And that's not being critical of the last few months, because God has been putting the emphasis on other things. What he's been doing about showing that we need to be a people devoted to the Lord has been absolutely essential to what he wants to do now. Well, he doesn't want to just go on talking about that, but now he wants to produce a people devoted to the Lord, because only the release of the Spirit can produce such a people. But you see, God always declares what he's going to do before he does it. Now, why does he do that? Because he won't do it till we want it, whatever the it is. So God declares something. He says, this is what I'm going to do, or I want to do. But he doesn't necessarily do it until we want it. So, this produces some interesting questions for us. Do we want that release of love? Do you want to love in the way that Jesus says, to love with his love, to love others in the same way that he loves you? That's his command. That's his word. But do you want that love? Do you want that release of love? You see, that didn't get much of a response, did it? I mean, if everybody said, yes! We'd be in revival this week. But you're sitting there thinking, what's it going to cost? Never mind what it's going to cost. While you think like that, you will never experience revival. Because whatever it costs you is nothing compared with what it cost Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. The price has been paid. But you see, it's like John says, the commands of God are not burdensome.
Yes.
When you love,
The
cost won't even seem to be cost.
Yes.
When there's that release of love.
Thank you.
So you see what's happening with Sue Macken. And the folks that they're helping, and with people like Sharon Frood in Zimbabwe, and you probably think, wow, don't know that I could do that. Yeah, you could if there was the same release of love in you as there is in them. Now, it doesn't mean that because you had that release of love that God would replicate what they're doing. God would channel that love in the ways that were right for you, for the way in which he wants to use you, for the way in which he wants you to touch the lives of other people. But we've got to want this. Lord, I want that release of love in my life. I don't want to live another day without that. I don't want to even wait till tomorrow. I want it today. I want you to do in me, Lord, whatever is necessary so that that love that you put in me can be channeled through my life and pour out with grace and power and fullness. Now, you see, you notice that in those four things, I didn't mention power. Because where there's the love and the faith and the holiness, there will be the power. Where is the worship and the prayer, there will be the power. Because Jesus said, you'll be filled with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So as the Spirit is released, there will be the power. You will have all the power. But you know, the most powerful part of power is love. It's not the signs and wonders. Love will change lives. Signs and wonders won't necessarily change them. I've seen people receive the most amazing miracles and still they haven't believed. But I've never seen anybody impacted by the love of God without just falling into his arms. So we've got to want the release of faith. What's that going to do? It's going to make you bold. But you see, if you just pray for boldness, oh Lord, we want to speak your word with boldness. That's how they prayed in Acts 4. What happened? God poured out his spirit. He released the spirit again. The house shook. Because God said, no, no, it's not boldness you need. It's the spirit you need. Then you'll have the boldness. Says they were all filled again. Now, I come across people who say you can't be filled more than once. Well, they got filled more than once. But you see, you know, don't play around with words. The point is, God wants our lives full of the Holy Spirit. The fact that you were baptized in the Spirit doesn't mean very much to God. What means something to him is that today you're living full of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's concerned about. And if you're living full of the Holy Spirit, you're living full of love, full of faith, full of holiness, full of the spirit of worship and prayer.
Come on. Come on.
You see, the point is, when you're full of the Spirit, when the Spirit is released like that, it's not a burden. It's not difficult. It's not difficult to love. It's not difficult to believe. It's not difficult to be holy. Believe it or not, it's just not difficult to resist temptation. You almost laugh at the devil's ridiculous suggestions. Instead of saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, he's attacking me at my area of weakness. You say, you silly idiot, get out of here. As if I would be interested in that stuff.
Come on. Come on.
See, because it's the Holy Spirit in you. But you got to cease from your own labors. You trying to love, trying to believe, trying to do signs and wonders, trying to be holy, trying to pray, trying to worship. Cease your own labors and say, okay, I can't. But you can. And if I don't, you will. But if I do, you won't. You see, it all fits together, doesn't it? Hello? So, finally, how will the Holy Spirit be released through us? What do we have to do? Three things. One, this is what you want. Forget the other two if you can't pass on number one. This is what you want. Not because you want it, but because you know it's what God wants. And your desire is to please him. In fact, there's something wrong with you if you don't want what he wants. Number two, you pray. But you pray out of a heart of humble submission to God. You are literally in his hands, giving him the liberty to do with you exactly what he wants and to work through you in the ways that will please and glorify him. That's the kind of prayer, you see, that the Word of God says enables him to lift us up, to exalt us, to honor us. It's the kind of prayer that honors him. And when you honor him, he honors you. So you've got to want this and therefore pray out of a heart of love and submission to God. Number three, you step out in the obedience of faith. You start to do whatever the Spirit leads you to do without any of those if, buts, and maybes. I don't know if I can. I don't feel that's me. That's a challenge. You know, all those kinds of things. Because you'll find the release is there as soon as you step out in the obedience of faith. You pray for the sick and the power will be released. You lay hands on and people will be healed. You witness, and believe it or not, people will listen.
That's it. That's right.
Why? Because it's the release of the anointing.
Yes. Come on.
And you get more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so you know who to witness to and how to witness in each situation.
That's right.
Now, let me finish by saying this. What I'm describing this morning is church life. This is church life. Nothing less than that is really church life. Watchman Nee wrote a book years and years and years since I read it, but he wrote a book called The Normal Christian Church. He wrote The Normal Christian Life, but also The Normal Christian Church. And you see, what he describes is, well, this is what church is. And if a church isn't that, then it's subnormal. Whereas we think if a church is moving in revival, that's abnormal. Uh-huh. So there you've got a move happening somewhere which doesn't reflect all those four things, but just one of them, and everybody's getting excited and hopping on planes. Wait a minute, what's going to happen when all four are being manifested? Well, we don't want people to come and drink from this well. That's not what we're after. But what we want is God to do such a work here that will encourage others to dig their wells so that then revival will break out. Because revival is never going to break out by people hopping on a plane and coming back with a cup of water.
So
we're on course. I said we're on course. And we're ever so close. Because we already have everything we need for life, godliness, and revival. Because revival is life and godliness. Amen? So I declare this morning, I want all this to be released in my life. much more than now, because I've known release of these things much more than I'm experiencing at this time. But I'm saying before you and before God this morning, I want this release of the Spirit through my life in greater measure than I have ever known before. And I want all of this all at the same time. Amen. And I'm praying for that. And I'm going to step out in the obedience of faith. And I'm going to see release in my life and in my ministry in a fresh way. Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.